The first lesson is found in Genesis chapter 15. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is found on page 4 of your bulletin. It's Psalm 33, and we will read responsively. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man.
From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds.
The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love.
That he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
So, in the holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us.
Even as we hope in you.
The second lesson is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but by having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia, you have the word of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If, then, you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags and purses that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. That a girl. Well, good evening. You probably noticed all the scripture lessons that we just read were all about faith. Faith, trust, believing, right? Everybody trusts or has faith in someone or something, right? Everybody does. The question is, do they have faith? Do they live by faith in Jesus or something other than Jesus? So Jesus, in our gospel reading that I just read, is telling us that we need to trust God, that God is always going to take care of us. And instead of worrying and getting all anxious about things, just live by faith. So Jesus talks about money bags or purses. This is what he's talking about, a money bag, a purse. How many of you have purses? You have purses? You know what I'm talking about, right? Some people have coin purses, big purses, small purses. I saw one of our men here tonight. He came in with a purse. So even guys have purses. Sometimes we're carrying them for our wives, and sometimes we're carrying them for ourselves, right? But technically, a purse or a billfold is something to hold money and other stuff. So there might be Kleenexes. There might be a pen. There can be all kinds of stuff in here, right? Yeah, this is a purse. And you know what Jesus said? He said, there's a problem with the purses that we have here on earth. You know what it is?
What happens to our billfolds and our purses?
Mama?
Yeah, hon?
Mama took those.
Yeah, she'll share one with you. Here, you sit down and you share them now, okay? Because when you share, you get twice as much. Okay, have a seat, honey. And then there's more back there when you get back there, okay? Both of them?
No.
Yeah, you don't want to have both, because if you don't share, then you're going to have half as much. Okay? See what I got in my purse here, Hopi? Yep, I got stuff in my purse, right? Okay? And Jesus says the trouble with purses and billfolds is that they don't last. Right? How many of the big folks out there have a billfold that they've had their whole life or a purse they've had their whole life? Probably not very many, because they wear out. And then in our gospel, Jesus says, you don't want to have those purses and billfolds and money bags that hold all our stuff, because they don't last. What you need is you need a purse that doesn't grow old. Have you ever heard of a purse that doesn't grow old? A purse that doesn't grow old means you don't have to replace it, right?
And I want a little purse.
You want a little purse? Yeah, we'll get you a little purse, you bet. And but God has another purse for you, Hopi. Yeah, it's the purse that Jesus is talking about. It's the purse that is filled with faith and hope and the love of Jesus, right? And Jesus says that when we get his purse, when we get the purse of Jesus, do we have to buy a new one in a few years? No. The first one's a gift, and how long does it last? Forever. It doesn't grow old. That means the purse that God gives us, Jesus, that means it's new. Not just like new, but every day it's new. The purse that God gives us, which is faith in Jesus. Okay? Will you pray with me? Let's pray together, okay? Dear Jesus, thanks for giving me faith. Thanks for giving me a purse that never grows old. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Right? Yeah. So we just that's another sign for us tonight. We just got to always be watching for the little ones because sometimes they're going to trip and fall, and we got to be there to pick them up. Okay? Watch out for them. Just like God watches out for us. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have maybe ever been in a car and you got kind of busy, or you decided to stretch your luck a little bit, even though that yellow light came on, right? Which indicated that, you know, it's in the shape of a gas tank. You needed to get gas, but you know that you had, let's say, another probably 10, 20, 30 miles yet, right? So you just keep driving. Well, a few years ago, a sister, a nun, dressed in her habit, her apparel, you know, of the sisters, the nuns, she was working for home health care agency. And she was driving her car and so busy going from place to place that she didn't pay attention to the fact that she was just about out of gas until she was out of gas and her car stopped. Now, as Providence would have it, fortunately, she was able to look ahead about a half a mile down the road, and she saw the sign for a gas station. So she got out of her car. In her habit, she's walking down there to get to the gas station. She says, can I borrow a gas can? I'm going to buy a gallon of gas. I need to walk back to my car, and then I'll drive my car up here. I'll return the gas can, and I'll fill up my car with gas. And the attendant that was there, he said, well, we've only got one gas can. And somebody else had the same problem. And so they're gone. But if you're patient, if you just wait probably 10, 20, maybe a half hour, I don't know, it'll be back, and then you can have the can. She said, I'm busy. I'm already late. I've got to get to the people that need me. You know, she said, I'm working for this healthcare agency, people that are homebound. So she goes back to her car and tries to look around, and suddenly, again, as Providence would have it, she sees the bedpan. And she realizes that the pan that she's going to deliver to this next person, the patient, can be used as a receptacle to get some gas in it. So she walks back to the gas station, gets some gas, walks back to the car. She's pouring it into the tank, and as she's doing that, the bedpan, you know, here comes two guys walking by. And the one says to the other, now that's what I call faith. Because they assumed what? That she was pouring something other than gasoline into the tank of her car. All of our lessons for tonight are about faith. Now, faith is. Don't you just love the way Paul in the book of Hebrews just kind of shouts it out? Now, right here, in the present, now, faith is. And then he proceeds to do this faith hall of fame. Then he proceeds to make sure that we know what it means to walk by faith, to live by faith, in the faith of Jesus. Now, faith is what? I mean, is it a pipe dream? Now, faith is the confidence of things not seen, the certainty, the blessed assurance, right? That's what Paul is saying. It's not a pipe dream. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the confidence of things not seen. By faith, the people of God received their commendation. By faith, they were justified. By faith, they were reconciled. By faith, they came in the name of Jesus in his reconciling love. By faith, they were saved. Even before the incarnation. Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through the Word. So the very first thing that Paul says in Hebrews chapter 11 is, by faith we, did you catch that? Before he starts talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah, and Abraham, and Sarah, and the whole litany. I mean, there's 18 heroes and heroines there in the 40 chapters of Hebrews chapter 11. There's 40 verses there, and in the 40 verses, 18 heroes or heroines. Pretty amazing. But the first thing that he does, and it just kind of snapped out to me in the last couple of days, I thought, wait a minute, he starts with us. By faith, we know what? We know the Word, because the Word of God, Jesus, creates faith by which we're saved. By faith, we know that the Word of God, the breathing of God, brought all things into life, and we're not monkeying around here. You didn't catch that. We're not monkeying around. We believe that it's by faith that God brings all things into existence. That the Father creates, that the Father gives his Son, Jesus Christ, as the expiation for our sin, that the Father gives us the Spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus so that you and I can believe. By faith, by faith, by faith, 24 times in the 40 verses of Hebrews 11. Got to be important, right? And people say, so where do I buy it at? Where do I purchase it at? As though somehow faith is a commodity that I can just simply purchase for myself. The Lutheran confessions say, the Holy Spirit works faith when and where it pleases God the Father. John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse says, when people are saying to Jesus, so what works do we need to be doing to be doing the works of God? And Jesus says, this is the work of God. You believe. So even our faith is the work of God. It's a gift. It's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. There's salvation in no other name. And we believe it by the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Luther's getting at. When in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, Martin Luther gives this meaning, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it united in Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, day after day, he fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead who believe in Christ unto eternal life. This is most certainly true. You see where Luther got it from? I mean, it's in the confession, but it's in the scriptures. It's the word of God, Jesus, who speaks that word. And the word is spoken in our first reading for tonight when Abraham is moaning and groaning. He's a man of faith. In fact, he's justified, Paul says in Hebrews 11, by faith. God counts it as righteousness. And yet, we read the book of Genesis and we say, who are you kidding? He had faith? Well, in and of himself, you would certainly doubt it. But if faith is the gift of God, the work of God, the bestowing of the Holy Spirit, well, then you see what happens in Genesis 15? It's amazing. Here is Abraham kind of moaning and groaning about, yeah, God made this promise, and I was 75, and my wife was 65, and we left the security of Mesopotamia, and now we don't know where we're going. I mean, is God faithful or not? And then the word of the Lord came to Abraham. And that's where everything gets ignited. When the word comes. When the word comes and it speaks. Abraham. It's not going to be Eliezer, your slave. When I make a promise, I keep a promise. But it's my will, not your will. And it's my time, not your time. Abraham, I think you need a little visual aid. Let's take a walk. So they go outside, right? And there's lots of stars up there. Or maybe they go for a long walk and they start and there's some sand by the sea. But he says, go ahead and do some counting for me. Let's just spend a little time in math class. How many stars? Oh, really? How many grains of sand? Really? You know that's impossible, Lord. You're going to have so many offspring. You're going to have so many descendants that the stars and the grains of sand are going to look like nothing. And Abraham believed the Lord because the word of the Lord came to him, just like it came to you, came to me. And it's the breathing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus, that creates that faith in us. It's amazing faith. It's just absolutely amazing faith that God gives us so that we can walk and work and worship. Did you catch that? I mean, Abel had a worshiping faith. He offered the best sacrifice he had. Cain, well, he figured leftovers were good enough for God. Really? What about Enoch? He walked with God, and he didn't die. You know that, right? God took him by faith. Abel, by faith. Enoch, by faith. Noah, even when everybody's laughing at him, built an ark precisely how God instructed him to build it. By faith, Abraham and Sarah had a waiting faith, right? They had to wait a long time. Get their first child when they're 190, respectfully. I mean, that's just the way it is. But God is faithful. And now when you think about all the people from the time of Adam and Eve to the present that by faith have received righteousness, justification, reconciliation with God the Father, St. Paul, Galatians chapter 3, says, in baptism, you and I become sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah, inheritors of promise. It goes all the way back to Genesis 12. When God, the Word, spoke to Abraham and said, you can trust me on this. Well, you know, there's people that have different perspectives. You have maybe opportunists who are always, well, kind of looking for that deal. And psychologists might say, well, if you want to look, why don't you just look inside yourself? right? Or you would have a pessimist who says, well, I think the way it looks, the cup is always half empty. And it's going to get from bad to worse. And optimist might say, well, I'm looking ahead because there's got to be a deal somewhere. So what does a Christian do? Well, I'll give you a hint. There's a member of our congregation, and when she sends me an email or she sends me a text, not always, but a lot of the time, she will end it with a tag. Keep looking up. That's what Christians do, you know. If we keep reading all the way through Hebrews 11, we get some more of it next week, and into the first part of chapter 12 of Hebrews, you will find, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this faith hall of fame of which we, baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, are a part, therefore, let us, what? Run the race that is set before us with perseverance, looking up to Jesus, looking to Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter, the first word and the last word of our faith, of our believing, of our trust. It's all grace, my friends. It's all gift. Do you believe it? Now faith is. Really? One of my favorite stories, missionary pastor in Africa, goes there, is working with a tribal group of people and teaching them not only about Jesus, but about the Bible and about joyful giving. And so they're studying Malachi, and he's teaching them about the tithe. They've already learned about first fruits giving. Now they're learning about the tithe. And so one morning, there's a knock on his little kind of hut, house that he has, and here is a young African man who has this beautiful big fish. And the missionary pastor says, wow, you are blessed. You got a big fish. That is going to be a wonderful gift for your family and your friends. God is good. And he assumed that the African man had brought it there to show him. And the African man said, no, I'm not here to show it to you. I'm here to share it, to give it to you. This is my tithe. Wow, the missionary pastor said. So early in the morning, and you've already caught 10 fish? I mean, this is amazing. And the African man said, no, this is my first one. And now I go and catch the other 9. Who would do that? Well, Paul says in Hebrews 11, now faith is, by faith, 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 24 times. I don't have the energy to do it 24 times. I'm sorry. By faith. I mean, when you think of the things that God is calling us to be a part of, his kingdom work, right here in Rochester. And sometimes, well, we forget about the faith God has given us and the Holy Spirit God has given us and how at least half of this community doesn't know Jesus and his saving word. I want all the people of Rochester to be in heaven with us. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Well, by faith, we won't have to worry about that if we preach the gospel. If we get the word out there about Jesus, that's what happens in Genesis 15. When Abraham is full of self-doubt, what happens? The word of the Lord comes to him. The word spoken, preached. The word of absolution, forgiveness, the word made flesh in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, given and shed for you. That's what creates faith, my friends. That's what sustains faith, my friends. So that when the world looks at us, they say, I just don't get it. You don't know how to worry? We learned at the convocation, and I've heard these statistics before. The chaplain said, you know, a recent study shows that if a person lives to 70 years, The average person in America spends 6.5 of those years worrying. For what? For what? I mean, do you catch what Jesus says about worry in the gospel tonight? And I read one extra verse. I hope you caught that. Because we need to see that last week's gospel was when someone from the crowd said, "Teacher, you tell my brother to give me my money now." Give me my money now? What about now faith is? Beware, Jesus says, of greed and coveting, because it will kill you. And only faith will save you. Right? And he tells the parable of the rich fool who doesn't want to consult God, who is entirely self-confident and self-dependent. And that night, the Lord speaks to him, because the word is always going to come, my friends. And the Lord says, "Fool, this night your life is required of you, and the stuff you've got, whose is it going to be?" Huh? Rich in things, poor in soul. It's a beautiful little bracket. The verse right before our gospel lesson for tonight and the last verse of our gospel for tonight. It's all about treasure. What Jesus is getting at is the moths are going to eat up the possessions we have, or the thieves are going to come and steal it. I don't care how good your security system is. You're not going to be able to take it with you. And you're not going to be able to protect it, ultimately, right? There's only one purse that doesn't grow old. Did you catch it? The kids know. They know that they can't make it in this life or the next without Jesus. He's the only purse that is irreplaceable. The only name by which we must be saved. You see? He's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure hidden in the field. Or, to go back a couple of weeks, you see, this is all tied together, this beautiful word of God. Remember Martha and Mary? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about so much stuff. One thing. That purse that doesn't grow old, the good portion, is necessary. Mary's got it, and no one is going to take it from her. You hear me, Martha? No one. That's the purse that God has for you, my friends. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life, not only to create faith in you, but to keep faith in you, so that when the world sees you doing crazy, nuts stuff, and you go, "Why would you do that?" Well, because it's all Jesus anyway. I mean, it's all his stuff. And can't I trust Jesus to take care of me? At the convocation in Indianapolis, Jim Nestigan, one of my professors from seminary, was supposed to be there. I love Dr. James Nestigan. He's a great historian. He's a great preacher. He's a great teacher. You know what happened? He got grounded. Now, we're supposed to be grounded in Jesus, right? He got grounded by a fog in Denver, Colorado. He couldn't make it, so someone had to pitch hit. And it was Gamentius Buba, who is fired up for the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, from Ethiopia. He is the missions director of the NALC. And he told this story. He says, "I was on the plane and I was so tired." He said, "Sitting next to me, a young gal with lots of books. And they were all on self-confidence, building self-confidence. And so he's tired, so he sleeps for a long time. And then he wakes up and he sees that she's still reading." He said, "Man, you read a lot." And she looks at him and says, "Well, man, you sleep a lot." And he said, "So you're reading these books on self-confidence?" And she said, "Yeah, let me ask you a question. Because I got all kinds of statistics and studies," she says. "Let me ask you a question. How much self-confidence you got? How much self-confidence would you say you have?" And Gamentius said, "Oh, that's easy. I got absolutely zero self-confidence." And she was just feeling sad and sorry for this guy, thinking, "Man, this is maybe the most pathetic human being I've ever come across, huh?" Oh, no. You know what happened? He looks and without a breath, he says, "But I have 100% confidence in Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and my Savior." And you can have that confidence too. Now, faith is The assurance of things hoped for. The confidence of things not seen. By it, the people of old, they received their commendation. They received the praise of God. They received justification. They were made righteous. And it was all grace upon grace upon grace. We can trust God because great is thy faithfulness. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. By faith, my friends. And that's what the Holy Spirit is giving you right now, because the Word of God is coming into your heart. And where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Because Christians keep looking up to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.